And so we're in this thing called one. Well, what is one? It is us jumping in, making a splash. And I was thinking, wow, what kind of splash could we make if we all jumped in together? And this week I was looking around online and I found something, and I didn't realize there was a world record holder for the largest splash ever made. I mean, everything is out there, I promise you. Here's a picture of Brian Utley right here. Brian is the world record cannonballer, all right? I mean, this guy can make a splash. But I was thinking, wow, what kind of splash could we make if we all jump in together? And we're not just looking to make one big splash over the next couple of years here at Christ Church. We're looking to send wave after wave after wave out throughout the world so that we can impact lives for Jesus. That's what we want to do. Now, I know some of you might be walking in here today. You might be visiting going, oh my goodness, I came to one of these churches that talks about money all the time. Well, let me go ahead and let you know, we don't talk about money all the time. In fact, I can't even remember the last time we talked about money. But here is where we are as a church. God is blessing us. There's this incredible wave that is moving through this church, His Holy Spirit, and we have to continue to do everything in our power to ride that wave and maximize what God is doing at this church. And if you've been around a while, you know that this is one of the biggest jumps that we've ever made as a church for two reasons. Number one, we're a big church now. You see, in a big church, it's easy to kind of blend in. It's easy to kind of sit on the fringes, on the outside, to not get plugged in, not get involved, not give. A small church, you can't do that. But in a big church, you can kind of blend in. And the second reason is simply this. The economy still is a little bit scary, isn't it? It's still a little scary out there. So in the midst of all of this, we are doing this thing called one, where we are jumping all in. And let me just say this, okay? You know, I know some of you might be a little afraid about this. And as I said this before, I mean, if you don't want to be involved, okay, so be it. I hope you will. But here's the one thing I hope you get as we go through this entire series, that you can trust God. That is my hope through this entire series, that you will see that you can trust God with everything in your life. So what is one? Well, one is a two-year generosity initiative where we're trying to maximize our generosity to raise and increase our giving to $25 million over the next 2 years so we can maximize our giving, maximize our mission, and advance the gospel around the world. That is our goal. Now, this is a brand new thing for us because in the past, what we would have done is said, hey, we got this one thing over here, and we have another thing over here, and so we want you to give above and beyond. But we start thinking about that and say, you know what, that doesn't really make any sense because there's not one mission here, one mission here, one mission here, one mission here. No, it is all the same mission. We are all one. And so we are going to be giving all together to one, and understand when we do this, over half of the $25 million over 2 years that we'll collect is just for our normal operating expenses. It's our general fund. It's to continue doing great things in our children's ministry, like you saw in that video, and our youth ministry. It's our neighborhood ministry. It's our worship ministry. It's all of our other things that we do around here on a normal basis. Over half is going to that. But then anything that comes in over that, we are going to tackle a number of different challenges we have as a church. Number one, our debt. We've got to tackle our debt. We've got to get aggressive with our debt and pay that down. If we can leverage those dollars back into ministry, oh my goodness, what we can do as a church to make a difference. And number two, there's some things we need to do in this room. This is our biggest front door, and we need to make sure this room is as inviting and welcoming and current as we possibly can. Number three, our children's and youth ministry. I mean, the world is after their hearts and souls every single hour of every single day. We have got to win their hearts and souls, church. And so we've got to resource those ministries. We've got to do everything we can to make this place a place where these kids want to be and want to learn about Jesus. And we need to grow our ministries. We need to offer some more. So that means we need to add some staff, add some resources to be able to do that. We need to continue to be able to outreach into this community. So everything we bring in above that is to be able to do that. I mean, that is important. There's so many other things that we want to do. And if you haven't yet grabbed one of these, I just encourage you on the way out to grab one of these. There's got a lot of great information here for you to read up on. Also, we got a great website, cconewin.com, cconewin.com. We've got a lot of great resources, a lot of great information there about what this is all about and what we are trying to accomplish as a church. But here's the deal. I've talked to some people, and some people said, Jason, what we need to do is we need to collect all this money and then give it all away to the poor. And then I come over here and I talk to some other people, and some other people said, Jason, here's what we need to do. We need to collect all this money and just take care of our own stuff. Which led me really to this kind of conclusion. I can't listen to y'all, all right? Because you're schizophrenic, and I don't know which way to go. And so here's the deal. We are going to do both. As a church, we are going to do both. But here's the true answer to this whole thing. It's called the tithe. That's what it's called, the tithe. Listen to what the Bible says in Leviticus. The tithe is holy to the Lord. The tithe is holy to the Lord. It says you need to keep some back to fill the storehouse. You need to use these dollars, the tithe, to take care of the stuff in the temple. You see, that's what the tithe was for. And so the tithe is holy to the Lord. And here at Christ Church, we believe in the tithe. I personally believe in the tithe. And I believe as a church that we should be tithing as well. And so you need to understand that as more money comes in, what we are going to do is give more money out. So we are going to do more and more to reach the community and reach the world. And so as more dollars come in, we're going to be leveraging more and more dollars into the world. I mean, some of the things that we're going to be doing is we're going to be partnering with Compassion International to plant two churches in South America, one in Ecuador and one in Colombia. We're going to continue working with Haiti. We're going to build a house to rescue girls out of the sex trade with Rafa House. I mean, we're going to continue working with some other partners around the country to plant a church in Harlem, New York City, and in Gainesville, Florida. I mean, they need all the encouragement they can get in Gainesville these days. I mean, just saying, all right? And we're going to continue partnering with our other great ministries around the world in Dominican Republic, in Haiti, in Costa Rica, in Honduras, in Brazil. We're going to partner with our partners in Africa, in Ghana, in Mozambique, in Romania, in India. I mean, you name it, Burma, Thailand, we are everywhere. And so we're going to continue to do those things and give more and more. But as we continue to give more away, we still have a mission here in Jacksonville. And as I shared with you the last couple of weeks, wow, the fields are ripe for the harvest. And I shared with you this graph for the last couple of weeks, the graph of our growth. You see it right here. The last 5 years, we've grown over 1,000 people. And the last time that anyone has stood on this stage and asked the church to jump all in like this, over 10 years ago, we built the community center. Since then, we have doubled. We have grown by over 100%. And every week, I've asked people to raise your hand if you started coming to this church over the last 4 years, and over half of the room raises their hand. And here's what I'm thinking. If we just double that number over the next 4 years, we won't have room for everybody. And so we've got to plan ahead. We have to be ready for the future. We have to put a plan in place to continue making room for people to be able to meet Jesus. And so what does this mean for you and me? What does this mean personally? Well, if you've been given to Christ Church, all we're going to ask you to do is to write down a number of what you have been given, to maybe grow in your giving, write down a faith pledge, and write down one number for 2 years. I mean, that's all we're asking everyone to do. And so you write down a number of what you used to do and what you're going to do, one pledge, one number, because it goes all in together. Now, I know for some of you, it might be the very first time you've ever given to the church. And you know what? I cannot wait for you to experience God's blessing when you do that. And so maybe for the first time, you'll be given to the church, and I'm looking forward to that for you, not just for the fact that you're given money, but for the fact that what that's going to do to your heart and how you're going to see God show up. And for some of you, you've been kind of given inconsistently, and now you're going to be challenged and encouraged to give consistently. And some of you then are going to say, hey, you know what? I've been working towards this whole 10%, this tithe thing. I've been getting there slowly but surely, and now it's going to be a chance maybe for you to jump up to that 10%. And for some of you, you're going to go, man, I've been given 10%, but I want to leverage more and more dollars to see more ministry happen. You just want to see the kingdom expand. And so many of us are going to have an opportunity to do just that. And remember last week in your bulletin, I think it's in there again today, you will see this. It's a generosity pathway. And remember, all we're simply asking everyone to do is three simple things. Help us plan a budget for the next 2 years. I mean, just like you do in your house, just like you do with your business, if you can commit to your giving, share with us that number, then we can put a real budget together for the next 2 years for the church. Second thing, just want to ask you to do is consider growing. Just see where you're at on this generosity pathway and go, hey, can I just take one step? Just take one step. And number three, trust the leadership of this church. Trust us that we're going to do the right things and leverage these dollars in an incredible way to be able to maximize the ministry of this church. That's all we're asking. And remember, this isn't about one person writing one big $10 million check, okay? It's about all of us jumping in together. Now, God will take your $10 million check, okay? I just want you to know that. He'll take that because you know what? There is no better place to invest than at a church. I mean, just look around this place. You see how you're getting a reward. You're getting a payoff on your investment. We have baptized nearly 2,000 people in the last couple years. Man, where else can you get a return like that? You know, because understand this, you can't take it with you. Which reminds me of the story of a guy who one day he was up in his attic and he was fiddling around up there. And his wife came up to see what he was doing. And she came up and said, honey, what are you doing? And she sees him and he's got this big bag and something's inside of it and a rope. And he's throwing a rope over one of the 2x4s up in the attic. And she says, what I'm doing is I'm putting some money up here so that when I die, when my spirit goes up to heaven, I'm going to grab this bag and I'm going to take it with me. And she's like, oh, honey, you know, bless your heart, you know, type of thing. And so he did that. A couple of years go by. He passes away. They go to the funeral. She comes home from the funeral, and she goes up to the attic to see if the bag is there. And she goes up to the attic, and sure enough, there's the bag still sitting there. And she just shook her head and said, that sweetheart of mine, I should have put it in the basement. Think about it. Your coffee hasn't kicked in. Think about it. There you go. There you go. So here's the deal. We have to invest, okay? Invest before we're gone. I mean, think about all the people who've invested in the stock market and real estate over the past number of years when they could have been giving to the church and giving to God tax-free. Now, I guarantee you many of them would be happier today knowing what their dollar has done instead of it just being absolutely gone. And so here's what we're doing as a church. On 23rd, 24th of November, we are going to have a commitment Sunday. We're going to blow things out that weekend. It's going to be a wonderful weekend. I want this place to be crazy. All right, I want everyone to be here. I want police helicopters hovering over us, riot police. I want Greenland Road backed up. I want us all here having a wonderful time. Even if you're not going all in with us, I want you to be here because this is going to be a pivotal moment in the history of this church. So be here on that weekend. And yes, it is the weekend before Thanksgiving. We planned it that way, all right? Because here's the deal. When we come in this place, we're going to be able to say, God, thank you for all that you've done for us. Now help us to go all in together as one. Because here's the, we want to be the church like the first church. We talked about that for 6 weeks in Acts. We talked about that first church. We don't want to be a sleepy church on the corner who doesn't impact or affect anything. We want to be a church like the first church that has the Holy Spirit power in the church where we are making life change. We want to be a part of a church who's making a difference, turning the world upside down. That's what the first church was all about. And when the Holy Spirit moved in that church, I mean, they were helping the poor, they were helping the sick, they were helping the widows and the orphans. Their message about Jesus Christ was changing lives. And that's the kind of church that I want to be a part of. And I hope you want to be a part of a church like that as well. And here's the deal. I told you this whole thing is really about two deep theological convictions that we hold. And the first one is simply this, that you can't outgive God. You can't outgive God. I think a lot of us have experienced that in our life. Now, today I'm going to share with you a number of very personal things about Ann and I and what we do here at the church. And this week I did something I've never done before and wish I would have done it before now. I sat down and I added up and figured up what we've given to Christ Church over our 13 years that we've been here. And I was actually blown away at we've given nearly $100,000 in our 13 years here at the church. And I don't say that for any credit coming my way, because I'll be honest with you, the first thing I thought about, and maybe you do the same thing when you do this, is, wow, what could I have done with $100,000, right? I mean, that's the initial thought I had. And so after I knocked Satan off this shoulder, you know, I went on this shoulder over here and said, wow, man, I've been so blessed. I mean, I've gotten so much more than $100,000 of blessings from God over the last 13 years. And no, my life isn't perfect, but man, I wouldn't trade it for anything. And I have been so, so blessed. Which just reminds me of what Paul says. Listen to Paul's words here. He says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Pops down to verse 11. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. I mean, I don't know about you, but I mean, that's me. And if I could put my picture right next to that verse, I would do it. And here's the picture I put next to that verse right here. You didn't realize what's under this shirt, did you? Blessings on steroids. That's how I feel, all right? That's how I feel right there, all pumped up by God's blessings in my life. Now, I know you guys are impressed, right? I've been working out. And here's what I'm going to do with that picture. I'm going to put it in a frame. And the gym I work out in, they've got some pictures on their walls. I'm going to sneak it in there, all right? And hang it up on the walls and see if anybody notices who it is, all right? But that's how I feel. I feel like I just had so, so many blessings. And so that's where I'm at. Because the second theological commitment is huge for me too, and it's that we need to bring heaven to earth and take earth to heaven. I mean, those two things, you can't outgive God. And secondly, we got to bring heaven to earth and take earth to heaven. Listen to what James said. James says, pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress. Man, a lot of what we do around here at Christ Church is to just bring little pieces of heaven and give it to people because we want them to see and experience God's love in a real and tangible way. I mean, that's what we're about. And if you've ever wondered about my commitment, my passion for missions, my passion for the poor, then you really don't know my story, because if it wasn't for one single rat, I might not be here today. I actually may still be in South America, because you see, my first job, my first ministry was actually working in Guayaquil, Ecuador with a team called Team Expansion. And there's, wow, look how young I was, man. That's like a good-looking kid there. Wow, what happened? But I was there working with Team Expansion. We were doing small neighborhood ministry, really, throughout the community. We actually literally built a church, and there's a picture of the church right there that we built. I learned to arc weld, scary, 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 and it was just an incredible, incredible experience. And if it wasn't for a rat under Ann's bed, we might still be there today, all right? And so that's a whole nother story, but you need to understand my heart and my passion. My heart and my passion is we have got to be bringing little pieces of heaven to earth. It's important for us. I mean, that's why Jesus taught us to pray. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, he said, we're not supposed to pray that God just comes and does it all. It truly is a partnership with God. That's why when we continue to pray, give us today our daily bread. I'll put my part in, God. You do your part. Forgive us our debts. God, forgive me as I go do my part to forgive others. And lead me not in temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. You see, it's a partnership. And the gospel message is a partnership between us and God. I mean, listen to what Paul said in Romans 10. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? You see, it is a partnership. It is a partnership. And I've showed you this graph for the last couple weeks, the graph of the world population. Here's where we are in the yellow here, that we live during the greatest population explosion in the history of the world. 7 billion plus people on this planet. And so church, we have a responsibility. As the world is growing, churches need to grow. And that's what this is all about. It's the empty chair. It's making it possible for someone somehow to come and meet Jesus. I mean, that's why one of our favorite stories around here is the story of the prodigal son. I mean, you guys know that story, the story of the prodigal son. The boy, he comes to his dad and says, Dad, I want my inheritance. I want it now. Dad says, okay. He takes that, and he goes to the big city. He does the whole sex, drugs, and rock and roll thing. He wakes up one morning in the gutter going, man, my life is horrible. What am I doing? I mean, even my father's servants have more than I have, so I'm going to go home. And so he starts heading home, and on his way home, he's thinking up this whole speech, this apology speech for the way he's blown it. And he gets in with sight of his house, and his dad sees him, and they run, and they meet, and the son kicks into that little store. Dad, I'm so sorry. And dad says, shh, I'm just glad you're home. What once was lost is now found. And they put a ring on his finger, they put a robe on him, and they threw a party for him. I mean, what if when they came home, there wasn't a parking spot for him? I mean, what if when he came home, there wasn't a seat for him? What if when he came home, there wasn't a children's ministry for his kids or a youth ministry for his kids? What if when he came home, there wasn't someone to greet him and welcome him there? It's important. It's what we're about. There are 1,555,223 people within a 30-minute driving range of our campuses. We have a job in front of us, church. And it's why I get up every day and come to this place. It is why I am all in, and I can't wait to see what God is going to continue to do as we make a ripple in this community for him. And so today, here's what I want to look at. I want to look at the story about a guy by the name of David. You guys probably know David in the Bible, one of my favorite people in the Bible. I mean, I just absolutely love his story because it's a story of a little kid at first who wrestles lions and bears, and then he goes on and does the Goliath thing. And then I love the story about the fact they're looking for a king, and his brothers and dad said, no, don't worry about David, he's too little. But God sees on the inside, doesn't look at the outside, sees on the inside, and says, that's a man after my own heart. And David grows up and he has this epic battle with Saul. And then he finally becomes king. He finally gets everything that he's been waiting years to get. And then he blows it. I mean, he absolutely blows it with his sin, messes everything up, but then he puts everything back together. I mean, I just love that story. And it's just something about David. I think the older I get, the more I understand him, the more I kind of get his life. And so today I want to look at a story in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And this is where David is actually raising funds to build the temple. And so if you want to turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 29, you can. I'll kind of tell you what's going on here. You see, David is kind of at this place in life where he's kind of looking back. And one day he literally wakes up in bed and goes, "What's going on here? I'm living in a palace, but God is staying in a tent." You see, there was no temple yet. It was the tabernacle. It was a tent. It was portable. And as the Israelites were moving around throughout the years, they would move the tabernacle with them. The Ark of the Covenant was there. And so David says, "This isn't right. I'm staying in a palace and God is in a Winnebago." All right? I mean, this isn't right. And so he says, "I'm going to do something about this. I'm going to build a temple. I'm going to build such a marvelous temple that people are going to come from great distances to go, wow, look at this beautiful place." And God was honored by David's heart and enthusiasm. But God said, "David, I'm sorry, man. You can't build the temple. There is too much blood on your hands. And so I don't want you to do it. I want your son Solomon to do it." And David, get this, David, instead of walking away sad and mad with his tail between his legs, get this, David goes away and says, "Okay, if I can't do it, then here is what I'm going to do. I am going to raise the funds so that when Solomon and that generation come along, they will be able to get the task done." What a heart. And so let me jump in and share this story with you in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And here is what it says. "Then King David said to the whole assembly, 'The task is great because this palatial structure is not for man, but for the Lord God. With all my resources, I have provided for the temple, my God.'" And then what he does here is he lists out a bunch of stuff that the government, that his government, his leadership is going to give. And then he continues, "Besides, in my devotion to the temple of my God, I now give my personal treasures of gold and silver for the temple of my God, over and above everything I have provided for this holy temple. Now, who is willing to go all in and be one with me today?" All right, that's the original Hebrew. Just want you to know that's what it says in there, okay? But that's what happens. And so notice what David says. Notice he says, "You know what? The government's going to help, but I'm going to give above and beyond." He says, "I'm going to dip into my retirement plan. I'm going to dip into my 401k. I'm going to dip into what I'm going to one day give my kids to give to the church." I mean, have you ever been driving down the street and seen somebody in a Winnebago or maybe one of those nice RVs? And they're driving by and they have one of these signs on it. "Sorry, kids, it's all spent." Here's the deal. David's got a bumper sticker on the back of his chair. It says, "Hey, I am giving your money away, kids." I mean, that's what he's saying here. And he continues in verse 6. "Then the leaders of families, the officers in the tribes of Israel, the commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds, and the officials in charge of the king's work gave willingly." They gave towards the work on the temple of God. You see, the generosity was contagious. It was contagious, and it continues. "The people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly." And I love that. The leaders gave freely and wholeheartedly. Pay attention to that. And David didn't give out of his leftovers. No, David gave so much more. And watch what happens. 1 Chronicles 29 verse 10 says, "David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, 'Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel. Yours, O Lord, is the greatest and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give thanks to you and praise your glorious name." And here's the great part. "But who am I?" And who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. Who are we that we have the opportunity to build the temple? Who are we that we are the people who get to give generously? Who are we? I mean, what an incredible, incredible thought. And so as we read through this, there are three things I think David points out that are going to really help us in our journey and the risk that we are taking as a church. And number one is simply this: understanding that everything comes from God. Everything comes from God. Because see, here's the problem. Most of the time we get to the point where we say, okay, what do I got to give to God? I mean, what's this whole tithe thing about? I mean, is it net? Is it gross? Is it gross? Is it net? I mean, what am I supposed to do here? I mean, where's that line in the sand that I can step over just to make sure God is happy with me, right? Because here's the deal, and this happens for most people, and let me be transparent and use me this morning, all right? Many times we get to the eve of doing something really big, about to give a big amount of money to a project or a building thing or a mission thing or whatever it is, and I got to be really honest to you. All right, many times you get right to the eve of that, and I'm not super excited about doing that. Maybe it's just me, but sometimes you get to the eve of that, and you're like, oh, I don't know about this. But you see, it's wrong, because we should be excited that we get to participate in what God is doing. I mean, what did David say? I mean, repeat this with me. I put it up here on the screen. Repeat these words. Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. You see, if I have another opportunity to give, it means that God has blessed me enough that I can do what he wants me to do. And so I have to have enough faith to continue to believe that God is going to continue to outgive me. And I understand that, and I get that, but I know some people are going, but Jason, I'm out of work. I mean, I don't know how this is going to work. Well, remember, God will bless you richly if you even have a mustard seed of faith. Now, if you go to a financial planner, a good financial planner, all right, hopefully the very first question they are going to ask you is, what do you want me to do with your money? All right, that's what a good financial planner should do. The first question they ask you is, what do you want me to do with your money? If that's not the first question, you might want to say, hey, time out. I want to go check somebody else out, all right? Because here's what a bad financial planner might say. Thank you for investing with me. I'm going to go buy a bigger boat and a bigger house. Thanks for your money, all right? Because here's the deal. You want that person to use your money well, right? You want them to invest your money well. Well, here's the point. It's all God's. It is all God's anyway, and we are here to invest his dollars, and David gets that. And David is saying here in this story, you know what? Man, I'm excited that I get to be a part of what God is doing, because I know if I give generously now, there are going to be thousands upon thousands of people who will come to the temple and meet God for the very first time. It's all his. I mean, David is saying you really can't give to God, because giving to God is kind of like me taking my boys to buy a present for Ann. All right, sometimes on Mother's Day or our birthdays, I'll take the boys to go shop for Ann. We'll go to Target, and I'll go through the aisles, and we'll pick stuff out, you know, and we'll get a card and some wrapping paper and a bow, and I'll help them wrap it up. But the deal is, they're using my money, right? They're using my money, and then they'll go, and they'll wrap it up, and they'll sign the card, and they'll take it, and they'll give it to Ann, and Ann will go, oh, you know, you guys are so sweet. You thought about me. Thanks for buying me a present. I'm like, whoa, hold on a second. I get the credit, all right? It's my money. They are using my money. You see, the same thing is true with God. We can't really give to God because it really is all his anyway. We're just using his money. Well, here's the second thing I think David would want us to know from this story. It's simply this, all right? We're only here for a fleeting moment. We are only here for a fleeting moment. It says this in 1 Chronicles 29:15. Our days on earth are like a passing shadow, gone soon without a trace. You know, I'm turning 40 here in a couple weeks. I know some of you are shocked. You're going, man, I thought you were all of 45, all right? Well, thank you very much. But if I'm turning 40 here in a couple weeks, and to be honest with you, I'm not too concerned about it. It's just another day. And some of you are going, you just wait, right? But here's where I've been, okay? I have taken a couple of minutes to think about things and go, you know what? How in the world did I get where I'm at? I mean, how did all this happen so fast? I mean, the kids are grown. I got one starting high school next year. I mean, both the kids will be out of the house in 6 years. You know, I mean, how did I get here? How did this happen so fast? And I think that's where David's at in this story. He's kind of looking at his life. He's going, life is fast. It's almost over. I mean, what am I doing to invest in the future? Because life is a vapor. It is over so quickly. And so what are we doing to make a difference tomorrow, today? You know, John D. Rockefeller, I don't know if you guys are familiar with that guy. I mean, you've probably heard the name before. Well, probably one of the richest people who've ever lived. I mean, he would give Solomon, I think, a run for his money. He'd be worth, in today's dollars, $318 billion, all right? I mean, that is a lot of cabbage right there, isn't it? I mean, single-handedly, he could take care of the problems in Greece. He can buy and sell Buffett and Gates. Time and time again, this guy was loaded, all right? But he was a great Christian, and he was a great philanthropist. And there's this incredible story that after he died, someone came and asked his accountant, how much money did Rockefeller leave behind? You know what he answered? All of it. He left it all behind because you can't take it with you. It is not going with you. I mean, great missionary Jim Elliot. Jim Elliot, maybe you know his story. He was martyred in Ecuador by some Aka Indians, the people he was trying to serve. And he said these words, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." I mean, those are strong words from a guy who gave his life to serve the very people who absolutely killed him. And so I think for me, it's why I look back and I look back at what I've given. And I look ahead to what I will give. And I realize that I am giving up something for something I love more. And you know what that is? That's sacrifice. That's sacrifice. Which leads me to the third thing I think David would want us to know. And simply this, when we give gifts willingly and joyfully, God is praised. God is praised. Oh, Lord, may you be praised forever and ever. The people were excited to give, and God was honored by their sacrifice. Now, I realize a lot of people think, wow, you know, churches talk about money a lot. Well, I don't know if you know this or not, but Jesus talked about money more than he talked about anything else. He talked about money more than anything else because he realized that we have a propensity to put our trust in stuff. And so if Jesus said that 2,000 years ago, what do you think he would say to us today living in the wealthiest country that has ever existed? I think he'd say to each and every one of us, you may have a little problem with trusting in your stuff. Now, as a pastor, I got to be honest with you, all right? Talking about generosity, helping people be generous, is one of these things that as a pastor, it's one of the least favorite things that I do. And I'm just being honest with you because the stereotype, I mean, everyone always thinks pastors just want our pocketbook. Pastors just want more and more and more of our money. And I understand the stereotype, but here's the deal. I've gotten over that. I've gotten over that because here's what I've come to understand. And I know some of you have come from a church with a bad experience, and I'm so sorry that that's the case for you. But here's the deal, and I'll say this again. If you don't want to be one, if you don't want to give, I mean, God doesn't need you to give. He doesn't need your money. We don't need your money, but here's what you do need. You need to have a generous heart. And that's why I've gotten over this whole scared of teaching people to be generous, because you need to have a generous heart. Jesus said, where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. And so don't feel like you're pressured to give. If you don't want to do it, then don't do it, because you'll still get to heaven. Just you don't give, I promise, you'll still get to heaven. Now, you might have to sneak in, kind of like these people who are sneaking across the border here. Hey, we're in heaven. Don't tell anybody, you know? No. That's not how it is. I don't want you to think this is a works thing, all right? But here's what we're going to do. Here in a couple weeks, we're going to have our commitment weekend. I told you, November 23rd, 24th. And we're going to have a card kind of looks just like this. And what we're simply going to do is ask you to write down what you give, what you want to give, and make that commitment. Now, here's my hope and here's my challenge, that the number you write down will be a step of faith for you. That you'll take a step of faith and you will not put a number down that go, hey, I can do that, all right? Hope you'll put a number down that says, only God can do that. All right, so we want you to do that. And that's the challenge to you. Maybe to write down the biggest number you've ever written down for a church. That's the challenge to you. And I've told you, it takes all of us. Let me show you another graphic here. This is in our little, it's going to take everybody. You see all the people, it's going to take every gift matters. Everything we give as a church, it all goes in together. And so we need people all over the map giving everything to make this possible. And I told you, Ann and I, we're all in. And so where we're coming in is we're trying to be one of the 71, maybe even one of the 40 that gives between $40,000 and $60,000 over the next 2 years. That's where we are because we believe in what God is doing here. We believe in the ministry here. And just like David stood up in front of all the people and said, hey, here's what I'm giving. I just want to stand in front of you and say, I'm not just telling you to do something that I'm not going to do. I'm a leader who says, hey, I want to lead from the front. And so I'm taking a giant step of faith to trust God to do something really big because I believe in what God is doing here. And church, I don't know about you, but I think our kids have kind of already paved the way for us. You know, I thought about this. I grabbed this week, and I thought about, you know, this was probably somebody's Christmas present maybe or maybe a birthday present. And I thought, you know, this might have been in a kid's arms at night when he was scared. This might have been in a kid's arms when he was sick. And I thought about what this meant to a child and how important this was, but how willing our kids were to simply give it over, to make a sacrifice. And you heard what the kids said up there, their own words. They said, we want to help someone else. We want to give to someone else who may then in turn give to someone else. And so church, I mean, that's our challenge. As we take this risk, it is sacrifice. And I pray that we will take the lead of our kids and we will be willing to take a giant jump together and make a huge, enormous splash. And speaking of splash, I want to move into a time where we talk about baptism. And so before I do that, watch this quick video. I think this is the second most famous baptism in history after Jesus's. Watch this baptism here.
I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
So here's the deal. We want to make a big splash today, all right? And sometimes you need to just trust God and jump, all right? Now, if you want to jump in today, then sure, I guess we can do that if that'll get you back there, all right? But sometimes you just got to take the plunge. Sometimes you just got to jump. This week, or 2 weeks ago, actually on Friday, I did a baptism, met somebody here at 3:30. And he came in, and it was a 50-year-old man, and it was his birthday. He was turning 50 that day. And he said, I want to be baptized on my 50-year birthday. And I was like, oh, that's so special. And he's talked about his life and looking forward in his life and what he wants to do with the rest of his life. But he did say something that I think is important for us to hear. He said, you know, I've been out there, Jason, and I've heard you mention this two times in the last couple months. And I sat there knowing I should come down, but I didn't do it. And so if you're here today and that's where you're at, you've been thinking about it, you've been praying about it, the Holy Spirit's been tugging on your heart, then don't wait. I mean, just take the plunge. I mean, sometimes you just have to take that step of faith, take that plunge off the edge of the diving board and trust God. And there's no better way to begin that faith walk, that journey with God, than through baptism. You know, someone sent me this note, and I love analogies, and here's what they wrote about baptism. As a believer in Christ, we accept his love for us through salvation. When two people fall in love, they accept each other's love. When that love is coming to completion, they get engaged. The way that they show each other and the world that they love each other is through a ring. The way that a believer shows their love for the one who loves us the most is through baptism. It is the outward expression of our love for Jesus as our future groom. God is good, and hopefully we will be as excited about the baptisms as Jesus is. And I shared this verse, Luke 15:10. In the same way I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents. And so if you're here today and you've been thinking about this, we had 9 people come down last night. Here in just a moment, and we're going to sing a song. I'm going to walk over here. Just come on down. Just take the plunge today. Join us back there in the baptistry. Join us back there. Don't wait any longer. And if you're sitting here today and you're contemplating, you're praying about going in and being one with us, then just watch this. And remember that this is why we do what we do. So would you stand with me, church? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunities to join you. God, thank you so much for opportunities to take a risk. Because God, here's what we learn through our life when we take risks with you, that you show up in a big way and you remind us that there's no way in the world that we can ever out-risk or out-give you. And so Heavenly Father, I pray for all of us who you're working on our hearts about being one. God, I pray that we would just join you in what you're doing here at this time, at this place, at this church. And God, I pray for all those in this room right now who are contemplating giving their life to you and being baptized. God, I pray right now that you'll just move them forward. That God, that they'll take a plunge, they'll take a jump with you, and they'll experience the beginning of an everlasting journey with you, of having their sins washed, having their life begin again. So God, we praise you and thank you for life change. Thank you for helping us to be a church that continues to stand on the message, the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray.